19. Look in verse 9. If you notice, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's in red after the 9th verse. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Sounds like today's society, don't it? A lot of people feel like they're righteous and they despise other people. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Boy, that's a great passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Our loving God, give us hearts of humility today. Help us to see that without you, Lord, we are nothing, that we're sinful creatures that's separated from God, that with whom God is displeased. Lord, may we from this portion of Scripture be challenged to humble ourselves and to see others through eyes of love and compassion who needs the salvation of the Lord as we do. Lord, help us all to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And we'll give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Pharisee and the publican, I like to say the Republican, but in this is a parable, a heavenly truth come down in an earthly fashion that people could understand what the Lord was saying. We have this parable that Jesus used to teach that all praying is not pleasing to God. Just because somebody prays don't mean they're pleasing God. And the Lord Jesus knew the difference. He knew what was in the heart of people when they were praying. And so in this parable, this heavenly truth that Jesus gives us, we see he knows the difference between these two men that was there in the temple on that occasion. Just because someone seems religious doesn't make their prayers acceptable to God. We got so many religions today in our midst. Since in the last 30, 40 years, we have a lot of people coming over here illegally, bringing their beliefs that doesn't agree with the Word of God. So we got all kind of religion, and even the Muslims themselves, they faithfully go through 3 or 4 times a day praying. You see pictures of them down on their faces, sincerely praying to Allah. Now, they believe this stuff, folks. But you see, the God of heaven is not hearing their prayers. But they think they're righteous. They think they're better than we are. And even in our school systems, as I understand it, they let them pray, but Christians can't pray. Boy, there's something wrong there, isn't it? The ones that can reach God and the heart of God can't, it's not allowed to pray in school. Hey, they weren't sitting in my seat at school because I would say, Lord, help me. You can pray under your breath, right? But I'm talking about publicly out, being recognized as a prayer time. But the Muslims can. They let them do that. So someone that's so religious, well, you know, Catholicism is almost the same way. Faye and I listened to something the other day on YouTube about the Catholics. A very good study. Those people are poor spiritually. Most of them are very poor spiritually. It's a religion, church. They got a religion. And most of them, the Jesus they're praying to or believing in, is not the Jesus we have. But that's just another religion. The Pharisee, this man here was standing there bragging on him, what a spiritual man he was. He followed more or less the Mosaic law. You know, you please God by doing things. Folks, you don't really please God by doing things, not one thing, until you get saved. You can't do a thing to please God till you get saved. According to the Bible now. Not according to me. According to the Bible. Because you're separated from God till you get saved. So how can you please God? Now, God recognizes good things we may do, morally speaking, but you're not getting any credit for it in helping you to be saved, like a lot of our ministers are preaching and teaching today. Even in Christianity, they're doing that. The prosperity gospel, the word of faith gospel, the philosophy gospel. I mean, it's just, we just got a whole lot of these religious teachings that's not faithful to the word of God. And they're leading people en masse from God. Going to be awful for such ministers, folks. And the Pharisee, he followed the Mosaic law that you had to do this, you had to do that, you had to live by this. Well, you know, we don't in the New Testament live that way. We live by faith. We live by faith. What do you mean by that, preacher? We live by what this book says. And we follow Christ by faith. We learn to deny ourselves. Do I need to say that again? We learn to deny ourselves. The Bible says for us to humble ourselves. We're not over anybody else. This man was a religious man who believed he was pleasing God because he fasted. What does that mean? He wouldn't eat food for a certain period of time. So he thought because he went 3 or 4 days and didn't eat any food, this is pleasing God. Well, it wasn't. And he also believed that because he faithfully brought his tithe to the temple. He's given his tithe, what the Mosaic law required. Therefore, he must be pleasing God. No, he was not pleasing God. And he was deceived. He was all puffed up with pride because of who he was. He was just being so faithful to God. But at the same time, he was judging somebody else. Amen. He was judging somebody else. Now, in Matthew 18, turn to your Bible this morning. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read an extended portion here. Matthew 18, look down at verse 1. There was also a publican at the temple, and he was so embarrassed with himself and his relationship. Get that? This publican. Y'all know what a publican is, don't you? He's a tax collector. How did tax collectors live? Well, they collected taxes. They were Jews that collected taxes for the Roman government. Apparently, he got under conviction because he was charging people too much for their taxes. I'm thinking that's what the problem was. And he got convicted about how he had been living. But the Bible says that he was so embarrassed with himself and his relationship to God, he would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. Now, he's not like the Pharisee. The Pharisee was looking up into heaven and just telling God what a good person he was, how religious he was, but not this publican. He's just the opposite of that. As the publican stood there in the temple, he began to beat his chest and cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, he was very convicted, folks. He was very upset. His conviction was so strong. He was in the temple of God beating his chest because he felt so guilty before God. In this parable, Jesus gives us a beautiful illustration of how to approach God. How do you come before God? You don't come before God bragging on who you are, what you're doing. You come before God with humility, folks. You come before God with humility. None of us meet up to God's expectations in and of ourselves. If we do not recognize we're sinners, God is not going to hear us. We must approach God with humility. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children," Jesus said, "ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see little children, 2 or 3, 4 years old, something like that, they can be so humble. That's what Jesus used as an illustration of how you come to God the Father. You don't have anything to bring to God but your sin. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." For to be saved, you got to be humble like little children. This Pharisee was not humble like a little child. He was boastful, proud, disrespectful to others because he was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was tithing. He was fasting. But he wasn't right with God, was he? He wasn't right with God. Folks, we live in a very proud age today. People's got money. People's got status. God has blessed this country so much, and people are so proud. So proud. "I don't need God. I got a good job. I'm doing well." Well, tell me that 100 years from now, how well you're doing. Living without God now. except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Hey, that was the Lord saying that. That's the Lord saying that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. When you get saved, it should show up in the way we live. And I know, even from my own experience, we all start off as babes in the Lord, but we're supposed to be growing as we hear the gospel. We're supposed to be becoming more and more spiritual people. We shouldn't say we're saved and just sit there and 30 years later you're the same way the day you got saved. Amen? We're supposed to be getting more spiritual. Learning more about the Lord. Let me throw a little plug in right now. We everyone ought to be reading our Sunday school lesson before we come to church. You ought to read your lesson. Then you can hear it taught. And it'll help you so much. This is great material in this book. But But most of the time, I read everything in that lesson, all them different things that's mentioned there. I read the whole thing. To get these guys that's smarter than me, to let them tell me some things. Let them teach me, too. Read your Sunday school lesson. It'll bless you. It'll help you to become more spiritual, closer to the Lord. Pleasing to the Lord. And I love for you to, as we go, tell you to turn to your Bible and read the scriptures where I'm using. Because you need to look at the word yourself. Take time to hear God. Take time to hear God. Because this is the voice of God in these books. Thank God loves us, folks, and cares for us. And God's wanting us to be better. And the more Christ-like we can get on reward morning, it'll show up whether you and how much you've growed in the Lord. When God judges us, it's going to be as straight as this iron here. He ain't going to give you anything you didn't do. He's not going to take away anything either. This is that old saying, he's going to judge you straight as a rifle barrel. He ain't going to give you anything if you hadn't done it. And if you've done something that wasn't right, you'll be losing. Because he's going to judge righteously his people. He's going to judge righteously. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest. Get this, folks. Get this. We humble ourselves like a little child. You'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You'll be among the great people. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? James 4:10 says this. James 4:10. Humble yourselves. See? God says us to humble ourselves. You decide, are you going to humble yourself? Humble yourself in the sight of God, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You got to humble. You can't think, I deserve this, I deserve that. I'm better than so and so. No, we got to humble ourselves. The Lord said one day, the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. If there's one thing God really hates now, folks, it's pride. I'm better than so-and-so. I don't like these signs on cars that say, I'm proud to be this, I'm proud to be that. I don't like signs like that. But God hates pride, church. Prayer is a way of life. Turn in your Bible to Luke 21. Luke 21. Thinking of prayer as a way of life for you and for me as Christian people. Watch therefore, he says in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus warns us that we should be watching and praying so we may escape the judgments that's going to come, folks. I believe this. I believe the church will be raptured for the 7-year tribulation. Amen. Lord, we'll be living such a life to praise the Lord. Amen. Before that takes place, we should be constantly praying, even as we go about our daily activities. I tell you one thing I do when I'm on the highway, I'm praying. Amen. Yes. I might meet Mr. Chavis coming, so I'm praying. Amen. You can pray at home. You can pray on the job. I know you got a job, but yes, there's a sense in you can, it's not just a point you're praying as such all the time, but you can be in a prayerful attitude. Yes, sir. Y'all understand that? Mm-hmm. A prayerful attitude. That's what Paul's talking about when he writes this. Pray all the time. I wake up at night praying. Mm-hmm. Amen? I'm not perfect now. I'm not boasting now. I'm just telling you, over the years, I've learned, man, I need the Lord. I don't know about y'all. I need the Lord. And I see the Lord. I see the Lord here, this old sorry preacher, so many times. I can go out. I need this screw this long. And I don't have any. And I go out there and I look in my toolbox and scramble through a bunch of screws and mess I've collected over the years. You know, the Lord has me one there, just the one I need. He does. I can go to, I used to, when I went to the hospital before COVID, I would go, and Lord, I need a parking place. You know how hard it is to get a parking place. I even got a sticker on my truck that a pastor is supposed to get a free parking place. But there's people there that don't honor that, and there's no parking places. So I say, Lord, help me. I need a parking place. You know what? The Lord has me a parking place. I've seen it. We are to be praying all the time, church. You can't pray too much. Amen? You can't pray too much. Psalms 5:2 in your Bible. Psalms 5:2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry. You ever cry to God? Have you ever got to the point you could cry to God? Just cry? I'm talking about cry. David did. David said, hearken to the voice of my cry, King, and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Psalm 52. And Psalms 5 and 2. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Psalms 5 and 2. In Psalms 32:6, the psalmist said this, Psalm 32:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You don't have to advertise, I'm going to go pray. That's something between you and the Lord. He said, do it in secret. Amen? You know why? You can do it in secret, and this is what God said. Then you can be honest and pouring out your heart. You can pray without being self-conscious of somebody listening. You can just be between you and the Lord, church. Are you listening to me? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Amen. Because back to what I said a while ago, no matter where you're at, you better be praying nowadays, amen, which is a principle for all times. Praying, talking to the Lord, telling the Lord about everything, anything. Because God's God, and he can hear all of us at the same time. And I tell you what, that's an amazing truth, ain't it? And you know, I think about all these electronic things that we have today. Television, radio, AM, FM. And we got those smartphones and flip phones and any other kind of phone. And you got all these different electronics with all these waves going out there. Why don't they run into one another and crash and tear up everything? I don't know. But God has made it where you can talk on the cell phone at the same time I talk on it by the same company. Amen? And this same kind of God is the God that can hear it. Everybody in the world could talk to God at the same time. 8 billion people. Isn't that? We got an awesome God, brother. We got an awesome God. And he's telling us, pray without ceasing. So if everybody in the world would be praying to God at the same time, he'd hear everyone just as clear as a bell. What? And we're going to go live with him one day, church. We're going to go live with an awesome God who loves us just as much as he is awesome. He loves us so much. And so we ought to walk humbly before the Lord, not thinking I deserve this or I deserve that. Let's look in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. The disciples' prayer. He assures his disciples that their prayers made in his name will be answered by his Father. Jesus told his disciples this. You pray in my name, God's going to hear you. He's talking to the disciples now. God also hears us when we pray in his will too. Amen? God hears us when we pray in his will. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing, he told his disciples. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Now that was for the disciples. You can't pull this out and say this is for you necessarily. You got to keep it in its context. Yes, God does hear our prayers when he does. But I believe when the disciples prayed, God answered every one of their prayers. But me and you, there may be times God says, wait a minute, I can't answer that prayer yet. God might even say, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. And there may be times when God immediately answers that prayer. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But to the disciples, I believe when they prayed anything they prayed, God acted on it in Jesus' name. Remember, you got to keep everything in context. That's why there's so many different churches today. They take it out of context. They teach it out of context. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Asking, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time is coming when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. John 16:23-26. Jesus promised his disciples before he left, he would ask the Father to hear their prayers. In James chapter 5, here's a great verse. We're to pray for the sick. We pray for the sick. How many times have we called out some of our people to come to the altar for special prayer? Why? We believe in prayer. Is any sick among you? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let that person sick pray. Call on God. Is any merry? Are you happy today? Amen. Are you happy? Well, sing a song, the Bible says. Amen. Brother Chavis, you can sing us a song. Amen. Is any sick among you? Anybody sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Notice the responsibility is put on the person that's sick to call. Yeah. Yeah. Now, a lot of people think, well, why didn't the preacher come see me? I've been sick. Preacher didn't know it. And by the way, you're supposed to call the preacher. Amen? I mean, we're reading it right out of the book, folks. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You notice responsibility is put on each person. Not throwing it off on some other person. You and I are each responsible for ourselves to the Lord. Confess your faults one to another. If you got any faults, baby. And pray for one another that ye may be healed. Pray for one another. I like to start over there and go all the way around, coming up, praying for the church members. That the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much, James says. So that's how important our prayer is, not only for our own needs and situations, church, but it's for our church family. We be praying for one another. God often hears our cries when we pray to the Father. We see answered prayer. We've seen God heal so many times. We've seen over and over God hears us and answer our prayers for the needs of our life. What a great loving God we serve, church. What a great loving God. Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18, look at that verse. See, we're to pray for one another. We don't just pray for me and myself and me at my concerns. Our prayer life is to reach out to others. All of us needs the prayers of God's people. All of us. Is our prayer life limited to our concerns? Or you just pray for what concerns you? How far out do we reach with prayer? How far out did your prayer go? You go out to the sick. Do you pray for the doctors and nurses and caregivers? Do you pray for the missionaries? Do you pray for the police departments? Folks, on our bulletin, look at our bulletin, all those listed categories of needs that we, the church, are to pray for. No wonder our country's in the shape it's in today. There's too many Christians not praying as they should be. Pray for Jerusalem. Amen. The Bible said pray for Jerusalem. Boy, they're in a mess over there now. They're getting all these rockets shot at them. Hey, folks, it's going to get ugly over there for long. It could happen even today. That's how bad it is. Yeah, the end of the age is close by. I expect to be snatched out of here any second. And Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And listen to the promise. If you do that, church, listen to me, church. Listen to me. They shall prosper that love thee. Love the Jews. Pray for the Jews. And you'll prosper. That's God's promise, church. This is a promise of God to you. If you keep up with the news of the Jews, they're having a difficult time now. So let's keep praying for God's people. Pray for your enemies. You got any enemies? People against you? Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This is what Jesus said. It's not what I said. It's what Jesus said. We're supposed to pray for people that count us an enemy. 1 Timothy 2:1-2. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Everybody needs salvation. Everybody needs God. Folks, we are God's people, and we're to be interceding for other people everywhere. Pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Boy, does our government need a lot of prayer for church. Man, they're as blind as a bat, deceived by the devil, destroying this nation that once was so great. That's what they're doing. They're setting us up for the tribulation and the Antichrist. That's what's taking place right before your eyes. "Pray that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." They want to close those church doors. COVID started it. They want them doors closed. They want this book shut. They want you to hush being a Christian. This is our leaders, church. And how many times have we said, "God bless America," and we've sang, "God bless America," and our hope has been in America, how God has delivered us in wars, awful wars, and now we don't want nothing to do with God. God, right there. The Apostle Paul challenges us to pray for our leaders and all people. You can take your bulletin. We've got all these different lists of needs for prayer. Look at that. Call it out to God. Show your concern. At the same time, you'll be taking care of yourself. Amen? You'll be taking care of yourself. Look at that Pharisee. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. What is so interesting, this religious man was praying to himself, the Bible says. Think about that. He was telling God about all the things he was doing, how religious he was. But the Bible says he was praying to himself. Is my prayers get me on me, folks? Is your prayers get belong you? I mean, there it is, black and white. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's the way the Muslims are doing. Much of Catholicism is doing it. A lot of Christianity is doing it. Praying to yourself. God's not listening. No, God's not paying any attention. God was not impressed at all by his flowery prayer. There was no humility in this Pharisee. Pretty prayers do not impress God. Some of these people, these preachers, they got a prayer wrote out. They got it wrote out. It don't even sound good when you read it. Amen. God wants you to speak from your heart in humility, church. Somebody might say, "Well, I just can't pray good. I stumble," and hey, that's the best kind of prayer. Are y'all listening to me? God ain't concerned about how pretty you pray. Amen. God just wants you to be humbly talking to him. And you talk to him like you come up and say, "Hey, preacher, how are you today?" Approach God the same way. Well, God, you don't have to ask him how he's doing today. He's always doing good. Amen. Amen. Oh, listen, folks. I thank thee I'm not as other men, he said, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even at this publican. I'm going to be done in about another hour or two, so just hold on. You know, when Jesus was getting his disciples, you know who he got as one of his disciples? A publican, a tax collector. A tax collector was a Jew collecting taxes for Rome. And the Jews hated them. The Jews hated him, publican. But here's this publican now. Jesus is going to ask him to be one of his disciples. You see what? How Jesus looks at people, folks. Jesus saw that man there. I can use that man. He might be a publican. Everybody might hate him, but I can change his life. Has Jesus changed your life? Think about it. Oh, he felt he had his act together. But he didn't. Here was the publican in the temple of God, and he was so ashamed to be in a place that was supposed to be spiritual. And he felt so sinful, so guilty. He didn't have any peace. He didn't have any hope. He was so miserable in the presence of God. And he just beat on his chest and cried out to the Lord, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. And that's the one God heard. Amen. That's the one God heard. The one that admit their self, how they are before God in humility. That's the way you get saved. That's the only way you're going to get saved either, too. Amen. You got to humble yourself. Admit you're a sinner. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah, the old prophet, said in 13:9-11. Jesus said about this publican that was standing there beating his chest, admitting he was a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. What's that mean? He went home as if he had never sinned. Great day in the morning, folks. He went home as if he never sinned. Isn't that something? And you've been justified as if you've never sinned if you've trusted Jesus. If you've trusted Jesus. If you're relying on Jesus, better not rely on yourself to get to him. That Pharisee was relying on himself. He was relying on what he did to get him. Nobody's not going to get to heaven on what they did. They're going to go to heaven on what Jesus did. He paid for our sin. He's justified us. He's sanctified us. And he's glorified us in the sense we already are in Christ and we're at the right hand of God right now in truth. Amen. I'm as sure as going to heaven as I can be. I might be here, but I'm in Christ and Christ is in him. Amen. Amen. Here we see this nicely dressed religious Pharisee in the temple praying, and he prayed this elegant prayer and went home unjustified. He went home with all of his sins, but he went home thinking everything was good between him and God. Isn't that sad? A lot of people do that today. They went to church. I went to church. That's all I needed to do, go to church. Folks, And then there was that old publican over there, admitting he was a sinful man. And he went home saved, justified by Jesus. Nobody is fooling Jesus. He knows the heart of every person. No matter how good and moral a person lives, will not make them right with God. You can be the most moral person to ever live, but you'll miss heaven without Jesus. Romans 5 and 1, I close. What a great scripture. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith we get this, folks. Just by believing. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. We are as if we've never ever sinned. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we're justified, saved. And we're no longer condemned. And we won't ever be condemned. We have eternal security and eternal life in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That you can be saved, know you're saved, live for the Lord, talk to the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll listen if you come before me with humility. Come as a child, pour out your heart to God. Loving God, our Father, thank you for the grace of God that makes all of this possible, that we can be saved, and that we can even talk to God day after day. Any time of the day or night, we can call on our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Bless our people here today, the people of God. Bless those unable to be here. You know their situations, Lord. Have mercy. And raise up the sick and afflicted, Lord. And those that do not know the Lord, that's in our families, Lord, we pray for their salvation in the mighty saving name of Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. May God bless. Anyone want to come to the altar this morning? Come pour out your heart to God. Come in. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you.